Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you could have first heard this episode 9 months ago if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Here we go, this is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I'm Andy Dawson, pow, pow, pow.
I am Sam Delaney, so what?
Welcome along to the Melchester Odyssey, it's part 79. We only managed to get halfway through last time. We got a bit sidetracked by Luis Suarez and his penchant for biting people. But we're back where we should be. Trevor Brinsden has been apprehended, Sam, by the Melchester crowd near a wall, which doesn't seem to fucking go anywhere. A wall that seems to be in the middle of the stand. But too much on that, I think.
No, because it's quite interesting that back in these days, in the 80s, there used to be more walls that just were there and didn't seem to go anywhere. You don't get them anymore.
Yeah, that's
Think
true.
Think about it. How much of a role did walls play in your life when you were a kid? I would wager a lot.
A lot. You would jump over them, you would sit on them, you'd walk along them.
You'd hide behind them.
For fun, yeah.
You'd sometimes attempt to destroy them, like take bits out. You would sometimes write on them.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in a little village called Shiny Row, which I've mentioned before.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to have to walk up the hill in Shiny Row. The main road was on a slope. And there was a wall that went up the side of the pavement alongside the slope. And it was a low wall, which when you're a little kid...
You're painting picture. You know I'm picturing the Hovis advert now, don't you? But anyway, go on.
It's not like that, but I'll try and get a picture to you at some point. There's no better than a low wall when you're a kid because there's this danger. So this low wall would kind of go along for about 5-6 foot and then there'd be a little slope, like a step up to the next level so that it would go up alongside the gradient of the hill. So you could walk along the wall and then up and up and up and up like a big staircase almost.
I mean, it sounds brilliant. I mean,
best wall ever.
Yeah, I mean, walls like that, they were what made life living if you were a kid in the 80s. We didn't have the internet. What we had was walls. It was the closest we had to the internet.
If you had a bit of wall you could rely on, you were sorted, weren't you?
And that was the good thing, is that you knew it was there until one day you came and Thatcher had it knocked down. Why? Budget cuts.
Because...
Yeah.
Well, they say budget cuts, but I think Thatcher just like smashes stuff up that people enjoyed.
Yeah, she'd get like fucking Willie Whitelaw and Norman Tebbit, and she'd dispatch them to a wall destruction task force. Yes.
Yeah. I've heard there's a wall in Shiny Row that the youngsters enjoy walking along. Have it smashed.
But Your Majesty, the. Have it smashed.
Yes, smash Your it, Majesty. I say.
You know the punishment for failure. But yes, Mrs.
She never got to that one, so maybe there might have been some Mandarin working away in the civil service who was from Shiny Row and had enjoyed that wall himself as a kid.
Yeah.
And the document came in, the memo came around that wall.
And he thought, I think this one might get lost in the files.
Exactly. Just into the bin, into the incinerator, perhaps.
Yeah, well,
and
can
the
happen.
Wall remained.
One, I used the to, last surviving wall. It could be
I don't know if I've told you this before, but my great-grandma, who she died when I was about 8, I think, but she used to...
Nothing to do with the... Her death wasn't related to the wall.
Not related to the wall, no. This was in a different part of Sunderland.
Right.
And she, across the road from her house, there used to be a raised piece of concrete that was about 6 foot square.
Oh, right. Piece of concrete.
I don't know what had been there before. And it was about 2 foot off the ground. And I used to play on that when I was a kid.
That's a quality bit of raised concrete.
Go play on the raised bit of concrete. You could stand on it.
Get, you're under my feet again. Go out and play on that raised bit of concrete. Harry.
Yeah, so that they were good times. You could jump on and off it. You could pretend, I don't pretend it was a stage, maybe. If you were a bit more creative.
A lot of things I would just pretend were time machines.
Oh, like, yeah, that's always a winner, isn't it?
I'd climb onto anything and then pretend to press some buttons. And
anything could be a time machine, can it?
Yeah, exactly. My son does that now. He's really into time machines. There's a period in your life where you're just banging to time machines and you pretend that any fucking thing's time machine. Probably if you've seen a bit of Doctor Who, you think, well, if that's a fucking time machine, a fucking phone box, anything can be. Fucking wall, bit of raised cut concrete.
Yeah.
And you know what? In the 80s, when I was playing time machines on my own, do you know what time I would always program it to?
I don't know, 1939, just before the war.
Euro 96, mate. I'd go forward. I'll be like, fucking hell, it was 1984, and I'd be playing it. Okay, I'm fucking going forward to Euro 96, mate, where the fucking, when the Caffreys flowed like water.
Yeah. And how old were you then? Eight?
No, I was nine.
Nine.
And I would fast forward to when I was 21 during Euro 96. And I just had a gut feeling that by then, I mean, New Labour weren't in yet, but John Major, he'd become more like ranking John Major. I think it was when John Major, do you remember when John Major got really into reggae? In his reggae phase, he sort of became more chilled out towards the end, didn't he? Yeah. And that was when
it was over, didn't he?
Yeah. And he just started smoking massive spliffs and listening to pretty dark dub music a lot of the time.
And having it off with Edwina Curry.
Yeah, well, he had his own float that year at the Notting Hill Carnival, didn't he? And Edwina Curry turned up in a big fucking headdress and all the rest of it. And I knew then something's going on here.
This isn't traditional Tory government as we know it.
I know. This is
time to get in the time machine.
This all feels like a big build-up to Euro 96. No, but it's true. Walls were great. And my supplementary question to the first question, which was how much of a role did Walls play back in your childhood? Let me ask you this. When was the last time that you had dealings with a wall?
I honestly can't remember. And that's the saddest thing. That's the saddest thing that's occurred to me in a long time.
There you go,
mate. Jesus, I can't think of any wall.
You know what they have now? Fucking glass partitions.
Yeah.
Cunts.
Yeah, there's not as many walls as there. Is it health and safety, do you think? Is that why they don't have
Maybe there was just too many kids falling off it. Well, they did that ad in the 70s, didn't they? Donald Pleasance in the voiceover. I'm a big wall. I look fun. Perhaps I could be. Perhaps you could play on me and pretend I'm a time machine. But you would be foolish to do so.
Look how high I am.
What goes up must come down. This silly boy has fallen off a wall and broken his neck.
God, you're right. What? There's no walls anymore, is there?
Children, beware of walls.
Fucking hell.
I fell off a wall. I fell off a wall. There was I live by the near the River Thames, and on my way back from school, there was a nice wall by the river that I would walk along. And the tide was out, thank God. But my mum was walking along with one of my brothers and her mate, and my mum was rabbiting on with her mate, gossiping, probably. And I was walking along this wall, but this was the type of old river wall that had a lot of moss and weeds growing over and in it.
Uh-oh, danger.
Uh-oh, yeah. This is exactly the sort of thing that the Donald Pleasance public information film would have warned about. Watch out for walls by rivers. They have plants, moss and weeds. And what the plant, moss and weeds disguised was a gap in the wall. Shit. Right? So I'm walking along the wall, balancing, and it was on one side, the pavement side, the promenade side, it was quite low, which is how I'd climbed up it. But on the river side, extremely high. So I'm walking along it, step forward onto some weeds, thinking there's wall underneath it. No, there's a gap. And I fall all the way down. But my brother, who was really proud of this at the time, he claims, he's retold this story a lot of times, the instinct took over. Because they didn't know whether that for a moment, my mum thought the tide was in. And if you grew up near the river, well, I don't know how far you were from the river Wear. Do you remember when we did a thing about which was the hardest river in Britain? That was good, wasn't it?
Don't remember that.
Oh, it was great. And and anyway, you get a lot of health and safety talks in the school. And we were basically, it was drummed into us from as early as we can remember that if you fucking put so much as a toe in the River Thames, you would die.
Oh, right. Okay.
They would it is fucking lethal. The currents, right? They go, the currents, it's like an underwater vacuum. If you get close to that river, it will suck you in like, you know, like a fucking voodoo ray, right? I mean, those weren't the words that my headmaster used. Like a fucking voodoo ray.
Like a one tractor. Day, they'll make a song about a voodoo ray.
Like a tractor beam, like that one the Death Star's got in Star Wars. Can't fucking get away. It's like that. And so we were dead scared, rightly so, of the river, because there's always kids drowning in the River Thames in them days, right? Dark and lonely water. Yeah. And so they saw me just disappear. And I think they thought, right, he's fucking, the tide's in. He's a dead man. Forget about him. He's a dead man. He's finished.
Does this make more Christmas presents for us?
And we got to move on.
Come on. Now.
He belongs to old Mother Thames now.
Let's go get some chips.
He belongs to Mother Thames. She's his mum now.
That's nature for you.
The Thames is his mum now.
Not right. That woman up there who's been neglecting him, gossiping.
Gossiping, letting him walk along a fucking super dangerous river wall. I went down about, I don't know, 8 foot, something like that.
Fucking hell.
And my brother swung over. He claims, I didn't see it, but he claims he did what he described at the time as a Superman jump.
Right.
I'm thinking Superman didn't fucking jump, he flew. Why jump when you can fly? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No point. No fucking point, jump. Mate. I'm flying.
The only jump he's ever done was to start off a bit of flying.
Yeah, exactly. You can call it a jump if you want, but it's the sort of jump where you jump up but you never fucking come down till you want
to. I call it a lodge. It's not a fucking jump.
But he reckons he jumped over the railing next to the wall and down onto the other side in one leap without touching anything with his hand, right?
Yeah.
And he fell a long way, probably hurt himself as well. But luckily...
Two dead.
They're both gone. Lucky I got another two. That's why I have four boys. Do you know what boys are like? They're very dangerous. Two of them are bound to die. Statistics. Right.
In the old days, it used to be cholera, but now it's just danger that kills them.
Now it's mainly walls. Of every four boys born in the UK today, two will die of wall-related injuries. Two will die off of walls. He jumped. I was fucked. I mean, to be honest, I didn't break anything, but I was scraped to fuck by the horrible muddy gravel.
Women. Keep breeding sons. For the good of the nation.
Britain needs sons. We are losing close to half our boys yearly to walls. This is why Mrs. Thatcher has established the anti-wall task force, headed up by Norman Tebbit. That was probably my worst wall experience.
So what happened? Were you rescued?
I was badly scraped. That's about. I mean, I'd like to sound more heroic than that, but it was a traumatizing episode in my childhood because it was a long fall, and I think I got away with it. Probably the best wall one though happened to my brother Cass in adulthood when he'd been to Lord's on the piss all day. I've told you this one, and he reckons he ran out. He needed a piss, and he thought, I'll run down that side road and see if there's any good piss spots. You know, we've all done that, haven't we? Where you're in a panic looking for a piss spot. So he ran across the road and he jumped over a wall, which he later claimed, look, the ambulance men told me. It's fucking legendary in London. Everyone knows that wall. I mean, they say they get average 2 call-outs a week for people who've done exactly what I did. So it wasn't that, couldn't have been that stupid. Right, he reckons it was a wall that was famous near Lourdes for being low on one side but high on the other. Yeah. So it looks like he goes, it's a famously deceptive wall.
Mm.
And he jumped over it and fell and he broke his wrist. And his mate came to comfort him. And they were both pissed off their nut from a day at the cricket. Because as we know, going to watch cricket is just legitimised all day boozing.
Of course it is. And it doesn't hurt as well when you break your wrist when you're pissed either.
Yeah. But what was funny was he was there and his mate came and found him. Oh, are you all right? And Fess was like, oh, fucking fine. Better call an ambulance though. It looks like it's bust. Like the fucking drunk bakers. Looks like I'll bust it. Right. So he said that his mate called the ambulance and Cass was sitting there and he said, and because he was so pissed, he said it wasn't in that much pain, but he said something like, I feel cold. And his mate hugged him and started crying. And he goes, what are you crying for? And he goes, you're going to be all right, mate. Don't worry. Just hold on. And he goes, I know I'm going to be fucking all right. I just said I was cold and didn't say I was dying. So I've just bust my wrist. Do I look like this is the first time I've drunkenly bust my wrist after jumping over a fucking wall? Of course it isn't. I've been around the fucking block a few times.
Fucking hell. Isn't there some legendary footage of John Fashanu doing something like that, falling off a wall?
Yeah, he's doing some sort of piece to camera and he falls off a wall.
I'm just looking for it now. I'm putting John Fashanu wall. I think that's what triggered Thatcher's. Yeah, there it is. John Fashanu falls off a wall. He goes over backwards, doesn't he? Here it is.
Easy to strike up a relationship on the pitch together. Well, I mean, he's easy sort of.
Whoop! There he goes.
lads, if you've got lads and lasses, any great wall related stories from your childhoods, send them in to us. And also, pictures of great walls. If you've got any great walls from when you were a kid, send them in as well. There's a few West Ham groups that I'm a member of on Facebook. I get them all muddled up. One's called Long Live the Bowlin. And you can only join it if you're old school. I think there's questions you have to answer.
You've got to be old school. Since before it became all seater.
Yeah. If not,
you have stood on the terraces.
We know what you're typing here, if not. You've got to be going from the days when we'd do ammonia in the boat on people. The good old days. Now answer this question about ammonia. Answer the following questions about ammonia in the boat. If you get them right, you can be in our Facebook group. But they share lots of great vintage pictures of life or any old bowling. I'm welling up just fucking thinking of the fried onions. Oh my God. You've set me off now, thinking about that grand. It weren't a grand, it were a cathedral. Right? And all of the pictures of kids in the 70s and 80s around Upton Park are all on walls. They're all wall-related.
Yeah, of course, but it was walls everywhere,
things,
wasn't it?
Things sprayed on walls, people standing on walls, people sitting on walls, people fucking about on walls, and there's always some sort of 70s kid in flares, looks about 8, wearing flares, quite long hair, a scarf around his wrist, always smoking a fag, despite the fact that he's 8.
Yeah.
That was quite 70s more than 80s, really, wasn't it? Children. Well, all children smoking.
I mean, go back to Murphy's Mob. I think in the introduction, Murphy's Mob was sprayed on a wall, wasn't it, in paint?
Yeah.
During the opening titles of that, so.
Jalapeño.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalapeño.
And I mean, the subconscious is hard at work here because what's our favourite game show now? It's a fucking wall, isn't it?
Wow. Yeah. I think it was LeBron James who came up with the ball.
It was.
And
yeah.
But I don't know where he's from. But obviously, he's in America. But I don't know. When I generally speaking, when you watch American TV shows, rather than walls, they had wire fences, didn't they?
Well, yeah, but I mean, LeBron James basketball, innit? What would he have had at home? His basketball hoop attached to fucking a wall, wouldn't it? Yeah. Mm. Probably the side of his house or something like that.
So, and walls played a role in people's lives all over the world, I guess.
I don't think Danny Dyer would have been involved. I don't think Danny Dyer would have gotten involved if it wasn't a wall. I think that's a significant thing about it as well. Because he'll be the same.
A game show generation. Yeah, a game show sounds a bit muggy. What's it called? It's called The Wall. Fucking count me in, son. That sounds like a good... That sounds fucking proper.
Sign me up.
Sounds fucking proper.
We've got two formats in development at the moment, Danny. We've got the wall, and there's also the wheel. The fucking wheel. Fucking wheel. Fuck off.
Do I look like some sort of fucking nonce?
No one ever climbed up on a fucking wheel before.
I never even fucking saw wheels in the old East End. We used horses if we needed to get somewhere.
We used to carry each other around.
Walls for lazy cunts. Wheels, I mean. Fucking wheel. Yeah, fucking wheel for. You've got to go somewhere. Fucking walk it, son.
I mean, it's also
and make
nice.
Sure you do the Cockney strut and all.
It's also nice that after 2.5 years of this podcast, we finally talked about an actual time machine.
If you got in the old days, I used to always travel forward in my imaginary time machine to the summer of 96. And now I play time machines quite a lot with Len.
Mm-hmm.
And
you go back to 96.
I always go to 96, which annoys him because he wants to go to dinosaur times and all that. And I'm like, fuck that, mate. No point.
Never got any
go to Euro
96.
That's the good life. Not going around getting fucking chased about by a pterodactyl, mate, when I could be in the Euro 96, fucking large in it, watching Gaza and drinking Caffreys.
Yeah, okay. Can we do this Melchester thing?
Watching Sean Ryder swear on TFI Friday.
Stop it!
I can't.
It's over! It's gone!
I can't!
You've got to get past it!
Never.
Right. Okay, so the wall there in the stand at Melchester, which doesn't seem to go anywhere. They've got hold of him, and there's a couple of coppers have waded in. And one of them goes, we'll never reach him in time. Those fans are so angry, they'll tear Brinsden apart. It's almost no point in trying. Let's just watch.
This could be quite entertaining. Have you ever seen a human actually tear another human limb from limb?
This is good, though, because instead of just one arrest, we could get 5 or 6 if we just stand back and let it happen.
It'll get our monthly stats up.
But at that moment, someone from the crowd, obviously Roy's gone over to take a throw in, so someone from the crowd shouts to him, Roy, it's Trevor Brinsden! Sounds like they've caught him! And Roy goes, what? And then someone else points out, over by the Hunterford goal! Roy didn't hesitate. Right. They're going in.
Right. Yet again, Roy interrupts a football match to wade into the crowd.
Yet again, and he does leap.
The others must be. Are we ever going to just get through a fucking normal 90 minutes without Roy hearing something from miles away in the crowd and deciding to just jump in?
They're all like, oh God, he's been shot. He's been out for 4 months. It's first game back. What's he doing? The cunt's in the fucking crowd again.
He's been told to just rest up.
Yeah.
I think so he's still got a bit of shrapnel in his nut. Apparently a bit of the bullet might have split it off and he's still stuck on his frontal lobe. And that's why he's behaving so erratically. Some people wake up on that stuff and they can speak Japanese, you know. Although so far, there's no signs of Roy doing that.
I saw it on Channel 4. I saw it on Equinox.
Equinox.
It's more spreader than Horizon.
It's much edgier. So Roy's leapt over the advertising hoarding. Out of my way, let me through. A reaction from the Lampards. Look at old Roy. He can't wait to get at that spotty little murderer. And another one shouts. Another one shouts. Go on, Racy.
What was that thing that people shouted at? Oh, yeah, that's it. Filthy little killer. We were talking about killer. That last week. You'll see someone shouts out in the crowd.
We were going to do a T-shirt, weren't we?
One of the cunters have got in touch and said, I put me down for a filthy little killer T-shirt, which is great. It's a bit like a punk band or maybe a new wave band. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
But then, spotty little murderer.
We could do that as
well. Almost as good.
See which sells the most.
Filthy little killer or spotty little murderer. Both great band names.
So Roy jumps over and Roy intervenes and he shouts, leave him alone, you crazy idiots. Which fucking surprises everyone. What the? But Roy, it's Brinston, the rat who tried to kill you.
The way they describe murderers is really strange because in a way, all of these terms are using like filthy little killer. Spotty little murderer, the rat who tried to murder you.
I mean,
just sort of like
this is all in the aftermath of the Yorkshire Ripper being arrested, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it was in the atmosphere, I suppose.
Did you say the wounds were still raw?
The wounds, one way of putting it, yeah. So there we are, and Roy is the voice of reason here. He says, "What proof have you got? Did you see him take a shot at me?" And they go, "No, but." It's a matter for the police anyway. Let them deal with Brinston. And the police have, of course, turned up finally. And they've got hold of Brinston. So, yeah.
Have you heard of the term habeas fucking corpus? Of course you haven't, you daft bastards.
I'm not sure what it means either, but I've just said it.
But I've used it a few times when I've been pulled over for drink driving. And it seems to have worked.
It can get you out of a lot of sticky situations if you drop that one.
Ah, habeas corpus officer.
Ah, on you go, sir.
Yeah, I thought so.
So, it says, as the dazed, dishevelled youth was handed over, one of the coppers says, Roy! Roy says, don't worry, Sarge, I know. I'll be straight down to the station as soon as I've dealt with Hunterford. Fucking hell.
Watch this, cunts. I'll just bang out an hat trick. I'll just bang out three worldies and then I'll be showered and up the fucking police station
come
later.
Make a statement. Get the kettle on for me.
This won't take long.
Milk and two sugars, the usual. So there we go. Look at Roy's face there as he comes back on the pitch. Fucking hell, what's that meant to be? And Blackie says, Roy, are you okay? I'm amazed you went anywhere near that fanatic after what happened. What's he think he's going to do? Fucking attack him?
Yeah, well,
I was going to say again,
he
but for the first
he
time.
He can't fucking kill me twice, can he?
I'm dead inside after what happened.
Blackie, I couldn't give a shit at this point. I've actually found the whole experience very liberating. I've stopped worrying about the little things, you know.
A lot of my future life decisions are going to be based on this.
I tell you what, I've got a lot of fucking perspective after that.
Live for the fucking moment, mate.
I used to worry about all sorts. I used to worry about the police coming round, sniffing around, asking about some of those disappearances you and I have been involved with. The tax man. Penny finding shit in my pockets that she shouldn't have done when she was doing the laundry. Little Roy fucking shitting his pants all over the gaff. The little annoyances of life. They're like water off a duck's back now. Now, if my son shits himself in front of fucking Rent-A-Ghost, I just ignore it. I think, do you know what? Whatever. Let him sit in it for a while. When Penny comes home, she'll change him.
Heaviest fucking corpus, mate. That's my catchphrase now.
The rough translation of that is life's too fucking short.
Fuck it.
That's Latin for fuck it.
Who's that player there with a moustache? I keep forgetting his name.
Doesn't really matter. I thought that was what's his name for a minute? The Spanish one.
It might be Paco Diaz.
I think it might be Paco.
Okay, we'll see.
You took one hell of a chance, boss.
Maybe I did, but I feel in the mood to take chances. You know, I'm pretty certain I know who'll try to kill me. Fucking hell.
That's why I'm so fucking happy.
So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to reveal anything. We'll see.
All in good time, cunts.
Yeah. It says, from then on, there was no trace of Roy's unusual lack of concentration. He brings down a long ball that comes through. Defender goes, oof! Oh, look at that perfect control. Give it the rocket, Racy. And he does. Outside of the left boot. Bang. Back of the net. Yes.
Outward curl of that. No fucking that. Chance. No chance, keeps.
There it is. Back of the net. And they celebrate. Blackie celebrate with a handshake and an arm on the shoulder. Old school.
Brian Clough would have approved of that, wouldn't he?
Yeah. That's the one we were all waiting for, eh? Says Blackie. He says, aye, pity old Brinsden couldn't have seen it. Stop thinking about fucking Brinsden, man. It's not important. Nat Guzzi
says, he's actually all right, to be honest. I mean,
yeah,
all right, he might have tried to kill me. We're not sure, but I'm pretty sure he didn't. But, you know, I think he's all right. I've been thinking about it a lot. He's
a renegade. We've got a lot more in common than we have that divides us.
Once this is all over, I'm going to get him down on feathers for a couple of jars and put the world to rights. No, don't lie. We don't want him interfering. It's not three amigos, it's the two amigos.
He might have a knife in his sock or some acid in a little bottle.
He might carry around one of them ankle holsters. I've seen him in James Bond, Roy.
Don't invite him, Roy.
I've seen some of the sexy ladies in James Bond and they keep a gun, a small one, in their garter by their stockings. And there's no way you can spot it until it's too late. I saw it in Live and Let Die, Roy.
It was sexy but scary as well. I was very confused. What if he's wearing a garter and some stockings when he comes to the pub?
And he'll act all friendly, but once you've had a few jars, you'll be going for the piss, you'll go for a slash and follow you in, and then his skirt will get pulled up and the gun will come out and he'll be killing you.
He might come dressed as Quentin Crisp.
I might have a chance to frisk him.
That'll be very confusing.
If he comes, right, we'll have to do it like in The Godfather, you know. But remember, Michael hides the gun inside the cistern of the toilet in advance.
Oh, God. So, and that Guzzden chips in and says, looks as if the king is back in business.
Have you noticed the way that Nat Guzzden, A, has aged even more since we last saw him? Which has been
75 now.
He looks fucking old. And also, he's kind of behind them trying to get in with them, with the alpha males. Yeah. And they're totally turning their back on him, ignoring him. It's pathetic. Looks as if the king's back in business. Yeah, fuck off, Grandad. Fucking, are you still here, are you? I haven't fucking noticed you.
And then, just after the interval, Roy struck again. It says, he walked round half the defence. And there's just a trail of defenders lying in his wake. Hooray! Racy's leading us back to the first division in style. Fucking hell. And then he substitutes himself. Right, I've done it. Two goals, that's your lot. I'm off. Roy's taking himself off. I guess he figures the game is safe. He must be off to the police station to confront the most wanted man in Melchester. And we'll see, because that's the end of that one.
Strong episode, that. So much going on.
And then it says, next Saturday, a vital clue to the identity of the would-be murderer. Ooh.
Uh-oh. So who do you all reckon it is, cunts? If you haven't got the book, you haven't read ahead.
If you didn't live through this the first time. Who do you reckon it is? We don't fucking care. We know who it is. Marks out of 10 for that then, Sam. I'm giving that a 9.
I'll give it a 10.
A 10? Wow.
Mainly because it's got a wall in it. Yeah. But also, whenever Roy wades into the crowd and then gets back out of the crowd and scores a worldie, that's just pure. That, for me, is pure Roy of the Rovers.
That's your Melchester heroine, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
It is. I'm just looking at the next episode. There's very little football, but a lot of police procedure in it.
So. Yeah, it's more like an episode of Juliet Bravo, the next one, isn't it?
Yeah. And maybe something might be revealed next week. We'll see. We'll see.
You know, Juliet Bravo, I know this is like a really old chestnut that probably every podcast discusses every episode of it, so I apologise. But it does still bug me when I think of Juliet Bravo and how people go, oh, everyone thought that her name was Juliet Bravo, but it wasn't. That was the coded, what do you call it? That was the code of the station she operated out of, right?
Did
JB.
Did people think that?
Of course you fucking... I thought her name was Juliet Bravo. Of course I did.
Oh, right, okay.
Well,
I didn't.
What bugs me is that people like, even like, and my people, I now mean you, that you're like, huh, how could you have thought that? And it's like, because it's a fucking program about a female police officer.
So therefore
it's a program about a woman, and the title of the show is a woman's name.
Mm.
And then I'm supposed to be the mug for fucking thinking it's the protagonist's name.
Well, you might sit down and watch the cunt for 5 minutes when you see her getting referred to by her name, and you realise quite quickly.
Oh, I probably got confused and thought, why aren't they calling her fucking Juliet? That's her fucking name. It's not her name.
You probably thought it was like a superhero thing where she turns into Juliet Bravo.
Do you know what it'd be like? It would be like you'd called like John Wick, right? But you'd called it fucking Dave Tango, right?
Right, yeah.
And you're there and you're going, go on, Dave Tango. And then someone turns around to you and goes, why are you calling him Dave Tango? That's not even his name. And I go, yes, it is. The film's called Dave Tango. Go outside and look at the fucking... Oh, no, sorry, I've got that wrong. I began, go on, John Wick. And I go, that's not his name. That's just a code. His real name's Dave Tango. And you're like, what the fuck? Why are they purposefully trying to make a mug out of me?
I might cut this bit out.
Or like, you call Starsky and Hutch fucking Peter and Tony.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with a very important episode of the Melchester Odyssey. Thank you.
Keep it woolly.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.